Hi, welcome back to The Agent Insider. I'm your host, Andy Jewell. Thanks for joining us today. Today, I have a guest with me, Gerald. Bravo, Gerald. Thanks for taking some time to sit down and chat with us a little bit. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit more about health insurance because it's open enrollment season.
Yes.
And there's a lot of questions that we get, a lot of confusion around the process of open enrollment. What does that mean? Why is it important? What do I have to do? And so I'm not sure where people are watching for or listening from, but we're going to kind of just be talking specifically today about Washington State, because that's what we primarily do for health insurance is in Washington State.
Yeah.
So Washington has the healthplanfinder.org. Mm-hmm. What are some of the big common questions that you're getting or you're seeing that people are asking during open enrollment season for health insurance?
Yeah, you know, I think probably one of the primary things that get asked while open enrollment is happening is, what's the cheapest plan?
Right. That's just common for everything to do with insurance, right? There's like, I don't want to spend more money than I have to on it.
Right. Yeah. No, and I think too, with health insurance, there's just confusion on, I think, how much do I have to pay, like not just premium wise, but like out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And health insurance, I'm not sure why they do this or the confusion on why they created this, but a lot of people talk about their deductibles, like, oh, what's my deductible? And I try, when I have this conversation during open enrollment, I try to make sure they understand you actually have two deductibles. You have like your initial deductible, which just tells you you've paid a certain amount.
Right, it's $750, $1,000, $2,500.
Right, and then you have your out of pocket, and people are like, "Well, what's that for?" And so then they have to kind of explain the difference and the nuance of how health insurance works. I think then they start realizing, like, "Wait a minute, I have to pay more out of pocket than my deductible," because if you think about insurance as a whole, car insurance, home, there's usually only one deductible. And then after that, everything's covered. Health insurance is actually, you got your deductible, and then between your deductible and your out of pocket, you actually split with the health insurance.
Right. You have coinsurance,
which is where the coinsurance comes from. So a lot of people are actually unaware of that reality, which is.
Right. And a lot of that will depend on the plan. So like if you're through the Health Plan Finder and you're set up with something like Apple Health, which is the state Medicaid program based on size of your family and your income, you may not have any deductible or coinsurance. You might just be having some copays. But typically for most people, you're going to have like $1,000 or $1,500 deductible, meaning that other than your regular office visits, you're going to have surgery or you're going to have diagnostic tests, you're going to pay all of that. You're paying from $0 to $750 or $1,500. You pay all of that. And it's not, and it is different than like your auto insurance because it's not a per claim.
Right.
It's an aggregate over the course of the year.
For the year. Yeah.
Like where if you get in an accident with your car, every time you get in an accident, hopefully you're not having multiple accidents in a year, but if you did, every accident is going to have that same $500 deductible. Mm-hmm. Whereas with your health insurance, if you have something happen and you paid $300 today towards it because it's under your deductible, that goes towards your cumulative deductible.
Yeah.
Yep. And then once you hit the deductible, so now I've paid my $1,000 or $1,500 for the year, now you go into coinsurance. So explain to me, like if I let's assume I've hit my deductible.
Right.
And now I have something happen. I have a broken leg and it's like a $5,000, let's say $10,000. So math will be easy. Mm-hmm. We'll say it's a $10,000 bill. And I have a 30% coinsurance. What does that mean for me?
Yeah. So to keep it kind of simple, if you hit your deductible and now you have this $10,000 bill after the fact, and you have, what'd you say, 30% coinsurance, what would happen is the insurance gets this bill and they would look at it and they'd go through your file or your what's been paid out, and they would then pay for 70% of the $10,000, and then they would send you the other $3,000 left and say, here's your percentage of what to do on this particular incident. That would be like the simplest fact.
So I'm going to pay 30% of the $10,000 bill. So now I paid my deductible, and now I still have to pay $3,000.
Yep.
No wonder people are mad at insurance all the time.
Yes.
And so I pay my monthly premium too.
Right. And then on top of that, you're paying monthly. And that will happen until you hit then what is called the out-of-pocket expense. So if you have the $1,000 deductible, which you already maxed out, and now your co-insurance, you're splitting these bills, and you, let's just say your out-of-pocket is $10,000. You would have to have three more of those $3,000 bills and then some to hit then the $10,000 mark.
So if I had, right, because that's what I would think of it. It's like, okay, now I have a $100,000 bill.
Yeah.
Right? So something really bad happened. I got a $100,000 bill. That means I'm on the hook for $30,000?
Right. Depends. So if you have an out-of-pocket of $10,000, you'd actually only have to pay the $10,000.
So once I hit the $10,000, then I don't... Is that going to be $10,000 per bill?
No. So that is, like you mentioned earlier, with the deductibles, the same with the out-of-pocket. It's an aggregate for the year. So once you hit that for the year, in the simplest term, everything after that would be covered by the health insurance. So then after that, you could go get
seriously injured. So if you have something bad happen and you hit your max out-of-pocket, like just go get everything done.
Go get everything done.
It's all free after that.
Yeah. Yeah. So... And that would be like in the simplest form. So it gets a little bit nuanced there because some of it is a co-insurance plus you still have like a copay in there and things. So it won't even out exactly $10,000 with some copays in there and everything.
Right.
But at the end of the day, your deductible kind of triggers the co-insurance where you start splitting your bills with the health insurance until you hit this out-of-pocket max. And so like you mentioned earlier, it depends on what kind of plan you have. And there's usually kind of these three tier plans where it's bronze plan, which is going to be a lot of it's going to be just out of pocket on your own.
High deductible, high co-insurance.
Yep, exactly. And silver plan, it's going to be kind of the middle of the road. You can get some that have low deductibles. The out of pocket's still pretty high, or you can get some silver plans where the deductible's high and then the out of pocket kind of stays the same on a silver plan. And then you have your gold plan, which is going to be very low deductible. This coming year, the out of pockets are actually kind of staying inside of the same realm.
What do you mean by staying the same realm?
Yeah. So like some of the out of pockets on like a silver or gold plan are still about like $75,000 to $8,000.
Okay.
So whether you do a silver or gold, your out of pocket's the same. What changes between the deductible and the out-of-pocket is the percentage. Mm. So what we're kind of seeing for 2025 is some of these silver plans are kind of like 40% co-insurance. So you're splitting on that, where some of these gold plans you're seeing like a 25 to 30% co-insurance. So you're paying a little bit less kind of splitting the bills, which is nice. But that's kind of where... You know, a lot of people are not informed or educated or just kind of confused on how.
Right. And then they get surprised about that later because they thought that, oh, I had a $700 deductible or $750 deductible, which is common now on the silver. But I didn't realize I'm going to also have to pay other stuff after I hit my deductible.
Yep.
And I'm actually on the hook all the way up to this max out of pocket, which is, you know, $6,000.
Something higher typically. Yeah.
The other thing I think that a lot of people don't realize is especially in Washington with Health Plan Finder, your income makes a big difference on the tax credits. And it's not the tax credits. I've had this discussion with people often. The tax credits are exactly that. They're a tax credit that they're giving you ahead of time. And I've seen people make this mistake sometimes where they'll put in a lower income to get a higher tax credit on their monthly premium, then when they file their taxes at the end of the year, they actually have to pay that back because they actually made more money than what they projected.
Right.
And so the state is not giving you that money, no questions asked. They reconcile that with your taxes. And when you are signing up through the Health Plan Finder, the fine print, which most people don't read, is that you're giving them permission to reconcile with your tax returns through the IRS.
Right. Yep. Yep, exactly. So that is something that we try to communicate, you know, when people are kind of going through the application. So every year during open enrollment, as you mentioned, kind of this period that we're in now, between now and the beginning of the year, the end of the December, that is something we try to communicate and make sure people understand is, hey, they're giving you this credit based off of the income we're reporting on this application, but it is subject to being looked at and compared to your taxes. When tax season comes around, they ask you for proof of it. You have to turn it in, and or during your taxes while you're filing it, they send you, I forget the form, but the health and plan finder sends you a form that you have to file in your taxes. And on that form, it shows how much you reported on the application through Washington Health Plan Finder, the credit they gave you, and depends on what you actually made during your taxes and you're filing them. It will either even out or they'll debit you or credit you.
Right, because you could get a credit too, yeah. Which some people have, we've had some customers have that happen. Where they projected more that they would make more, they did, or they didn't take all of the credit that was available. And then when they filed their taxes, they actually got an additional tax credit to offset any other taxes due or to get a refund. Because you'll get it as a refund if you don't take all of your credit.
Yeah. And so some of the concerns you know, with that as well, what if I make more during, you know, throughout the year than I projected? And that is something to be conscious of. Again, as of now, and this would be, I guess, something to talk to your tax advisor if you have one, is there is, from what we can see, there's no penalties on underreporting as much as you just get dinged on your taxes.
Right, you're going to have to pay it back.
Yeah, so you get paid back, so it can kind of feel like a penalty, I guess. But on the application with Health Plan Finder, they do advise, you know, for every $150 more a month that you're making, it would be recommended to update your income.
Right.
Because that does affect how much credit you get towards health insurance. And it does affect your eligibility, whether it's in Apple Health or not.
Right, because they have multiple plans that you can qualify for. So Apple Health, which is going to be, you're not going to have any premiums that you're going to have to pay.
Right.
Low, you know, typically no deductibles or co-insurance. But then they also have, they also have the Cascade plans, which have additional tax credits built into them.
Yep.
So depending on your income level, you may not qualify for a Cascade plan any longer. And so it is something to be aware of to make sure. And I know they say like $150 a month. I would say like it's something to look at. Just because you made $150 more this month, right? Don't rush in to change it, because if you change it too much, it's going up and down, and it can it really impact things.
You'll get a lot of paperwork,
right? But I would say like you really should pay attention to it on a quarterly basis.
Yeah,
and go, hey, how much did I make this quarter versus what I projected? If there's like if I got a big raise or if I change jobs and I'm making a lot more money, like think about making those adjustments. If we're like
Small changes. A couple hours extra.
I worked a couple hours overtime or something like that. Like I would not go in and adjust that income.
And again, I agree, because there's no penalty on underreporting.
Yeah, you're not going to pay interest in penalties because they're just going to charge it back to you when you file your taxes.
Right.
So, but be aware of it. That could impact your taxes a little bit.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing too that kind of comes to mind is there's this hesitation with as you mentioned, there's kind of these different programs inside of Washington Health Plan Finder, where Apple Health is this advantage where you no premium, very low deductibles, very little out of pocket expenses. And a lot of people view that as like the state program. And so there's a hesitation of like, well, I hear that no one covers the state program, that there's limited access to which doctors. And I think the interesting part is Apple Health is kind of the program, but then inside of that program, there's actual carriers that we're all kind of familiar with, like United Health, Molina, that then depends on your doctor or the network of pharmacy or doctors you go to. They can actually take them. So you don't have to go to like just a specific state doctor.
Right.
Which I think there's hesitation sometimes when I talk to people of like, well, I don't want to get into that program. like, well, you know, why? And a lot of times it's like, well, I hear the doctors suck. And it's like, right. Well, they don't have like specific state doctors.
Right.
You know, depends on the plan still. And then if that plan is accepted by your,
by your provider, which I think is an important thing. Like when people are shopping on there's an option where you can put in on the health plan finder, which I think is actually really cool. You can put in the doctor's name, any prescriptions that you're taking. Yeah. And then when you're shopping for plans, it'll show you what plans cover that doctor.
Yep.
So, because each plan has their own network. So it'll show you what doctors are covered, how the prescriptions are covered by that plan. So it's actually a pretty cool tool. I would add this caveat that if it's a new plan, so like AM Better is new to Whatcom County for this year, and the network on the health plan finder is not perfect.
Nope.
And so I think it shows like they have no network.
Yeah.
And so you have to actually go to AM Better's website, search for a doctor there, and then it shows you who's in network. So if you find a plan that you like, you can go, hey, I really like this plan, but my doctor's not in that network. Before you just write it off, yeah. I take that extra step to go to that plan's website, and they always have to find the doctor. Now, you do have to be careful because there's different networks inside of the plan, right? Like talk about Cascade Care. Cascade on whether it's Kaiser, Regents, LifeWise, or any of the other plans, that Cascade is a different network than some of their other networks. Mm-hmm. So you have to choose the right network to match the plan that you're looking at and then search the doctor on their website. And it's a much better search tool. The health plan finder is pretty good,
yeah.
But I have seen that at times where the actual website, when the AM Better is the key example, I've seen this multiple times where the website of AM Better shows them in network, but the health plan finder shows them out of network. So it's not always completely up to date.
Yep. And we actually had an instance two weeks ago or so where we called down because the customer we're helping had concerns about the network. And we had called down and we were looking at a Regions plan. So we called down to the Washington health plan finder and they said the same thing. They said the system's not perfect. And right. So we recommend either calling Regions direct and making sure through there website in their program, or calling your doctor direct and just saying, hey, do you take these,
right,
this network? So yeah, so they even recognize that
nice, but it's not perfect.
Yeah, especially with these new networks, or you know, sometimes people put in, I've had this conversation too, where people put in like a hospital because that's where they go, they have some, you know, some sort of disease or something, some sickness that they need, they go to UW hospital or something, and oftentimes it will show that it's not covered. Because a lot of these programs, you need a referral regardless.
Right.
And so a lot of times some of these other like hospitals or specialists aren't in their like quote unquote network, because you actually need a referral regardless of HMO plan or PPO plan. So
real quick, let's just talk about, we could go down this rabbit hole with health insurance probably all day.
Yeah.
But let's just touch base real quick because you threw out those terms, HMO and PPO. A lot of people aren't aware that what that means.
Mm.
What is an HMO?
Yeah, so you might have to actually correct me here because I just know them more through their providers on like who does what. So HMO is going to be the one where they have a specific network, and you have to have the referrals are within their specific network. And so you're a little bit more captive inside of who you can or can't look at. A PPO, you still need a referral for whatever kind of you're going to, but you are then able to seek out your own specialist and choose with a little bit more freedom on who you want to see and who you don't want to see. You still need a referral. You can't just like jump bases and go to a specialist.
Well, and typically the referral is actually not so, like some of the PPO plans require you to have referrals to go to specialists. Some of them don't. But even if the plan doesn't require a referral, the specialist is going to require the referral.
Or that as well, right.
Because I had a customer and their plan did not require a referral. So they just wanted to go see a specialist. And they were all mad because the specialist wouldn't see them unless they were referred by their primary care.
Yeah.
So like there's that part. There's two sides of it, right? Like one is, do you need the referral from your health insurance? The other side is the specialist probably won't see you without a referral. So,
right. Yeah. So there is some of that, and we're seeing, even some more traditional providers, offering, kind of more PPO plans. So like traditionally Kaiser Permanente was a HMO like specific plan, where they actually are even offering, kind of they call them EPOs, or they're kind of this mixture of both where they have a network, but they also kind of allow some freedom in getting just being able to choose your own specialist depending on, you know, what's going on with your health or whatnot. And so,
So the HMO, I always kind of describe it to people as it's the mother may I, that you do have to have a primary care doctor, and mm-hmm. the primary care doctor has to refer you to everything that you want to go do. Mm-hmm. You cannot go do something outside of the primary care. It's a health managed organization. And Kaiser Permanente is an example, like they're a prime example of what an HMO is, because like in Seattle area, they have hospitals, they have clinics, they have labs, they have drug stores, like they have their whole network built out, and then they manage everything. So if you're going to go to the hospital, you have to go to the Kaiser hospital. If you go to the clinic, you go to the Kaiser clinic. If you go to the pharmacy, you go to the Kaiser pharmacy. Like you have to go all through Kaiser, and it all has to come from whoever your primary care provider is, has to send everything out. Like you can't just decide you're going to go do stuff. They do it because it's a very cost-effective way to do it, because they're not paying a bunch of overhead on multiple layers. And it works well if you're okay. Like if you love your primary doctor and you're going to go through everything that way anyways, it's like an HMO is not a big deal.
Right.
A PPO is a preferred provider network, right? So they have like we were saying, like they have their network, and then they have coverage outside of the network, but they don't cover it as well. On that HMO plan, you go outside of the network without a proper referral, you get zero coverage.
Right.
On a PPO, you could have coverage outside of the network, but it's just going to be at a reduced amount. So maybe if you had a 30% coinsurance in network, out of network, you're going to have a 60% coinsurance, right? Because they don't have the agreements on the pricing. That EPO that you mentioned that Kaiser came out with, that's an exclusive provider network or organization. And those ones are going to be like, it's a more broad network. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to be Kaiser people.
Right.
But you still have to use the network.
The network.
And it has to be, they have to be in network people without special referrals and approvals. So there's the networks matter. I think the networks is probably one of the biggest, most confusing things that's hidden under the covers mm-hmm. of health insurance that people don't realize.
Yeah.
So it definitely matters. You need to kind of walk through that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're super familiar with health insurance and you're like, man, I can do this. I mean, more power to you. Go for it. But I would suggest that you should talk with somebody. Right. Like you should find an agent that you trust that will take the time to walk through how are you using your health insurance?
Right.
How often are you going to the doctor? Do you take prescriptions that you need to make sure are covered? You know, what kind of deductible can you afford and what kind of max out of pocket can you afford? So kind of think about, not very many people hit that max out of pocket, but it's something to think about, is like worst case scenario, the sky falls in a medical sense. What can you afford to pay, and then set yourself up for success by balancing your monthly premiums with the coverage that you need.
Right. Yeah. I think those are all great advices. They're great advice on what it looks like to go through and get health insurance for this, you know, coming year. And we kind of talk about it all the time. I think there's some people even now that go, well, I don't use it a lot, so I don't need it. Mm-hmm. But health insurance, as we all know, and not just health insurance, the just health coverage and cost is so outrageous.
Once something happens, right, it spirals and it gets super expensive.
Yeah. And so whether you think you need it or not, I mean, just get health insurance at the, you know, kind of the catastrophe or high deductibles, low premium.
I just met with a guy about this yesterday.
Yeah.
He was talking about it, and I can't remember the name of the clinic, but it's a local clinic where you, it's a subscription based clinic, which was kind of cool. I had to look it up and like kind of read about it. So you're paying like a monthly subscription. So maybe you pay $75 or $100 mm-hmm. a month. You can go to the doctor as many times as you want, and they get you in. So you're not waiting 5 weeks to see a doctor, and you just pay monthly to basically have them on retainer. And so he's like, well, I'm thinking of just doing that. Seems cheaper. I think I might just do that. I was like, well, that's a great thing to do. If you like that clinic, you like those doctors, but you need to, and they say this on their website, you need to have a catastrophic plan yeah. with that. Because some people are like, I can afford to go to the doctor. I'll pay $100 every time I go to the doctor. It's not a big deal, or $150. I was like, but you need to have a catastrophic plan to partner with that, because if something happens, right? Like you have a major break or a stroke or a heart attack that you're in the hospital for, or you have to have a surgery, or, you know, something, you know, God forbid, something worse like cancer or something along those lines. Like the sky's the limit on what that can do. And the health costs will wreck people.
Right.
You hear those horror stories about people who go bankrupt because they got sick.
Right.
And that can happen. And it usually happens when you don't understand what you're doing or what plans you're picking and what your risks that you're taking on, and you accidentally take on more risk than you meant to.
Yeah.
So it's open enrollment season. So it's the time to make these changes, right? You can change plans. You can change coverages up or down. So you need to make sure that you update your income, so you have the proper tax credits applying, or proper plans available to you. Mm-hmm. And then also go through and really look at those networks, look at the out-of-pockets, look at the copays. And I always focus on that, the max out-of-pocket with people, because the copays, the deductibles, all that, those are good. And those matter, but really you want to look at catastrophic events, worst case scenario, how much money am I going to have to pay out before the plan picks up everything?
Yep.
So,
yep.
All right. Well, hey, Gerald, thanks for taking time to join me. Hopefully this was helpful to you guys. We're going to do our after show next. So tune in next time for that if you'd like to hear a little bit more about Gerald. So thanks, guys. Have a great day.